in Paul's first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy, and in chapter number 2. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. And just reading from verse 1, just to get the background to the verses before me this evening. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse number 1. Says the word of God, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is Paul writing to Christians, and their responsibility to pray for the people of the world and to pray for their country. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We'll read verse 5 because that's the verse that's before me tonight, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So with the help of God, we just want to bring the wonderful message of the gospel to you this evening from these verses. And we discover from the word of God, the apostle says there is one God. So tonight we want to think first of all about the uniqueness and the singularity of God. There is one God. And then we read that there is one mediator. That is, one that stands between God and men. And we're going to think about the uniqueness of the mediator. And of course, the mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that brings us to our third point, the uniqueness of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus, the uniqueness of the ransom that he paid. Just to think, first of all, dear friends, and I'm not assuming anything, I'm assuming that we know very little about God. You know, we live in a world where there are many gods. We call it polytheism. There are many gods. But here we discover from the Bible that there is only one God, one God. We call that monotheism. And that's what Christians believe. We believe that there is only one God. So that we want to ask questions tonight about God, to think about who is he and what is he like. That is, what are his attributes? And the first thing that I discover from my Bible is this, that God is eternal. God is a being who has no beginning and he has no ending. He has always existed. He is eternal. And then I discover that God is all-sufficient. He doesn't depend on anyone else for his existence. He is self-sufficient. And then I discover that God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at the same time. There's not a place in all the universe where God isn't. He is. Not just in this world, but throughout the universe. And if you were to take a rocket ship and go to the furthest galaxy and the furthest ends of the universe, God is there. God is there. So that God is everywhere, dear friend. And God is in this tent this evening, the living God. So he's omnipresent. But not only that, I discover from my Bible that he's all-powerful. That is, he's omnipotent. He has all power. And then I discover not only that, but I discover something about his character. That is, he is a righteous God. He is absolutely righteous, and he is just. And not only that, I discover that he is holy. That is why the Bible says God is light, and there is no darkness in God, not even the least. And then I discover also that he is a loving God. God is love, the Bible tells us. And then I discover that he's a merciful God and a kind God. And then I discover, more important, well, as equally important as this, he is the creator God. He is the one who brought creation into existence. And dear friend, as you sit in this meeting tonight, not only is he the creator God, but he's the sustaining God. He sustains everything in life. Indeed, Paul the Apostle, when preaching in Athens, the city of Athens, he told his audience concerning God, we live and we move and we have our very being in God. And the very breath that you're drawing tonight is in the hand of God. And so there we're getting a little picture about who God is. And of course, God subsists in three persons. Not three gods, but three persons. One Godhead, and each of these persons is equally divine. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. So that's what we believe. The Christians who meet at the Hebron Gospel Hall, and the believers that are present in this tent tonight, this is what we believe in relation to God. I don't know what you believe, but this is what the Bible teaches concerning God, the living God. But then we read that not only is there one God, but there is one mediator between God and men. And I should have said, by the way, before we come to this point, another important thing that we learn from this reading tonight is that not only is God the creator God, but he is the savior God. God would have all men, says Paul. God desires all men to be saved. There is no unwillingness on the part of God to save every single human being that lives in this world tonight. And that includes everyone in the tent. The apostle says, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, dear friend, here's an encouragement for you as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight. The eternal God desires your salvation. And he's made it possible. And that's why we can go on to speak tonight about the mediator. We've thought about God, and we've thought about mankind, men. And you see, the relationship between God as our creator and humanity has broken down because of sin. And so that men need to be reconciled to God. Men are at a distance from God tonight, and so we need someone who is able to come between me and God and to reconcile me to God. You see, all the fault in the breakdown of this relationship, because the Bible tells us that in the beginning, God made the first man in his own image and in his own likeness. He placed him in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, and he gave him freedom to enjoy all the fruits of the garden with the exception of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, in the day you eat of that tree, dying you shall surely die. And so Adam was warned, and sadly Eve, his wife, was deceived by Satan, and she took the fruit and she gave it to her husband, and he took it with his eyes open, and that's how sin entered into the world. And at that moment of disobedience, not only did Adam begin to die, that is, the aging process began, but also Adam became alienated, separated from God. That's why he hid himself amongst the trees of the garden when he heard the voice of God in the cool of the evening. Adam and Eve hid themselves in the garden. They were afraid. And the reason why they were afraid was because they were guilty. And they had no desire to be in the presence of a holy God. And you see, that's the sad history of the human race. And that's why I came into this world as a sinner. The Bible says, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. And so here's the problem. You have God, who is holy and just, and who dwells in light unapproachable, and you've got mankind, who are rebellious and guilty and sinful. And so all the blame in this breakdown of relationship is on the part of man. And so the problem is this: how can mankind be justly reconciled to God? That is, brought back to God. How can a guilty sinner be reconciled to God? And here is the good news. There is a mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. And who is this mediator? Says the apostle, himself man, Christ Jesus. And so we have the mediator identified. It's Christ Jesus. And you see, he's fitted to act as a mediator, because not only is he truly man, but he is also divine. And so he stands between God, the Father, and he stands between mankind. He understands and appreciates the character of his God and Father and the demands of God's justice, and he understands the plight of man, because he lived in the world for 33 and a half years. And so the Lord Jesus, he's qualified to take up this great work of mediation. Now, a mediator is someone who comes between two opposing parties that for some reason need to be reconciled. And so the Lord Jesus, he came into the world with this in view. He came into the world so that he might be able to reconcile men to God. And how was this possible? How was the Lord Jesus going to reconcile guilty sinners, bring them back into fellowship with a righteous and a holy God? And Paul tells us there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom on behalf of all. That is, on behalf of all men. And see, dear friend, the good news that we are preaching tonight is this: that you can be saved, or you can be reconciled to God, on the basis of the sacrificial death of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, this word ransom that Paul uses, it's a word that's employed for a price that's paid to obtain the release of a slave. It was a ransom. They had to pay the price before the slave could be set free. And you see, dear friends, our problem is this, that every one of us, we're slaves. We've been brought into the bondage of sin and Satan. And because of our sin, we are guilty before God. And we're deserving of the judgment of God. But the wonderful thing is that on the cross, the sinless Son of God, he suffered and he bled and he died and he shed his blood. And you see, in the shedding of his blood, he provided a ransom. He paid the price to obtain my redemption and to bring about my reconciliation to God. And so tonight we're not pointing you to a religion, we're not pointing you to the Hebron Gospel Hall, though you're very welcome to come there. We're pointing you to a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And he is the mediator. There's no other way to God. No other way. If you want to be reconciled to God, you're shut up to one door, one person. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved. And so the good news is this, that the Lord Jesus, our mediator, he has made it possible for God to justly forgive me of all my sins and you of all your sins. Not because he's compromised, but because his son paid the price. He gave himself a ransom. And it's a ransom on behalf of all men. There's nobody excluded. That's wonderful. So that tonight, the whole world can be reconciled to God. There's over 8 billion people inhabiting this planet tonight. And every single one of them can be saved. They can be reconciled to God. You know, it's just not a selected few that Christ died for. That's foreign to the Word of God. When Christ died on the cross and shed his blood, he was paying a ransom price that was sufficient to meet the need of the whole world. As it were, he paid into the coffers of divine justice a price that is more than sufficient to meet the need of all. And dear friend, tonight, there's not one in this tent that is excluded. And you know, this sacrifice, this ransom price, it's all sufficient. Christ died, dear friend, for you. That doesn't mean to say you're saved, but the work's done for your salvation. As we were singing, done. Done is a work that saves. The price has been paid. God has satisfied the claims of God's justice against man's sin because of the shedding of the blood of his beloved Son. And the great wonderful news is this, dear friend, and I don't know you in the tent, I don't know everyone here, I could be speaking to the worst sinner in Bistra, but I can tell you this, you can be reconciled to God tonight. You can be brought into fellowship with God tonight. You can have your sins forgiven. You can become the possessor of eternal life. You say, well, what must I do to come into the good of this mediator's work? Well, the gospel tells us that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Men are guilty. That's why they need reconciled to God. Men are guilty. And they need to repent. They need to have a change of mind towards God about their sin. And dear friend, the moment a sinner repents and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment of believing, they are reconciled to God. They are brought to God. You see, Paul tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him. Isn't that remarkable? And the Bible tells us that God made him, that is Jesus Christ, his Son, God made him to be sin, that is the sin offering, sin for us. He that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, on the cross, my Savior was made sin. That is, he became accountable for the sin of the world. And he suffered under the judgment of God. And he bore the guilt of the world there upon the cross. That's why John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, the taker away of the sin of the world." Oh, the wonder of this all-sufficient sacrifice, this tremendous ransom price has been paid. It's all sufficient, dear friend. There's none need perish. Everyone's excluded. There are none excluded. As I say, there's no special chosen few. This gospel, this invitation, this call to the world is to every individual. Because this sacrifice was with a view to every single person's salvation. Dear friend, you can be saved tonight because the mediator has finished the work. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom on behalf of all. Friend, are you prepared to accept and simply rest on what the Son of God has done through his death and his resurrection? The work is done, and all that remains for you and I is to simply believe this message and act upon it and take this step tonight, this all-important step of faith, of believing, of trusting, and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And at the moment you do so, you are reconciled to God. You're brought into fellowship with the eternal God, and there's no distance, and you become part of the family of God. What wonderful truth is this tonight? And all your guilty past is eternally forgotten. You know what God says about the sins of his people? He says, "Their sins and their iniquities I will never remember anymore." I thank God he doesn't remember my sins. I remember them, sad to say. I remember them. And we have regrets. And we wish if we had a life to live, we wouldn't have done certain things and we wouldn't have said. And I know I'm saved and forgiven, but I still have the memory. And I'll carry it with me to the grave. But God doesn't remember them. God doesn't remember the sins of his people. Isn't that wonderful? Their sins and their iniquities, I will never remember any more. Friend, I trust you'll take this message to heart this evening, and that you'll act upon it, and that you'll come into the good of this ransom price that's been paid to obtain your eternal redemption. May the Lord bless you and bless his work.